If you're visiting for the first time, thank you so much for being with us. My name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're going to finish up our series on vintage. We looked at amazing stories of faith and triumph from individuals. And these are stories that we have known, maybe if you grew up in the church, like David and Goliath, if you watch VeggieTales, you know, all that as well, has helped you with knowing God's word. And I loved it. Even Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Elijah, all these great stories that they were faced with a hard decision to make God known, but God gave them strength and faith to do it. And I believe that's what faith is. Faith is believing who God is, and that's why we follow him. And today we're going to end this series looking at the book of Esther. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Esther chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. Now, like I said, I've enjoyed this series. Hopefully you have as well. But throughout this series, there's a question I kept asking myself. And that question is that no matter what I face, do I trust in who God is? No matter what I face, do I trust in who God is? I'll ask you that question as well, church. Be careful how you answer it, but whatever you face, do you still trust in who God is? We see in the book of James that we as believers of Christ are gonna meet trials in our lives, but those trials God uses to help us know who he is and serve him faithfully, but also he uses what we go through for his glory. And here in the book of Esther, we see that Queen Esther has a choice to make, a dilemma that could even lose her life. And here in chapter 4, there's a conversation between her cousin Mordecai and her. But before we go into that amazing conversation, I want to give us some background, what's happening, what's going on before in chapters 1 through 3. So we see here that there's a king, Xerxes, and he is a powerful king because he controls, his kingdom expands all the Middle East, and it's about 127 provinces, and in those provinces are about millions and millions of Jews who are inhabited in there as well. And in his third year of being king, he decides to have a party to show off his wealth because he's a wealthy king. And in those moments, in that moment of hanging out with his officials and this, you know, just showing off his wealth, he decides to say, you know what? I want them to see my wife, how beautiful she is. And so he calls someone, hey, bring me the queen to show her off like a trophy. But the queen said no. Somebody lays like, all right, girl power. That's awesome. Way to go. But the problem is this, there is a law that says if the king summons you and you don't go in the presence of the king when he calls you, you'll be put to death. And we see that's what happens with this queen, that the king kicks her out. Now, I haven't written any books on marriage or an expert on marriage, but I know that's not a healthy marriage, all right? So husbands, do not follow the example of this king of how to be a husband. But here's the thing, it so happens now that there is an opening for a new queen. And the king is angry because the queen said no to coming to the present, all this stuff. And so a servant says, hey king, I got an idea. Let's get all the beautiful young ladies from your provinces and bring them in front of you so you get to pick the new queen. Because what the king said, I like that idea. And so the servant gets all these women from the provinces. And it so happens that in this bunch of ladies, there's a Jewish girl named Esther that was brought in. It so happens to be that she got in the mix. And it so happens that when she was in the presence of the king, the Lord found favor in her and made her queen of this kingdom. And it so happens that Queen Esther has a cousin named Mordecai. And it so happens that he is by the king's palace. And it so happens that cousin Mordecai hears a conversation from two of his servants. And that conversation is a plot to kill the king. So cousin Mordecai goes to Queen Esther and says, hey, there's a plot, there is a plan that they want to kill the king. And so Esther tells the king and the king is saved. And it so happens that someone writes down what Mordecai did in the book of records that the king has. But cousin Mordecai was not honored for what he did. We'll get back to that a little later. But then it so happens that there's a man named Haman that was promoted by the king to be second in command. Now, Haman loves himself some Haman, all right? He thinks he is the baddest dude in the world. right? Because he is second in command. And everywhere he goes, people bow down to him. But it so happens that the only person who does not bow down to Haman, guess who it is? Cousin Mordecai. And it angers Haman so bad. He said, why is he not bowing down to me? Everybody else is. Which I'm like, all right, Mordecai, you got it, all right. But then it so happens that Haman found out that Mordecai is a Jew. And so Haman wants to destroy Mordecai. So he goes to the king and gives a plan to the king and says, hey, king, there are a group of people in your kingdom who are not listening to you or following your laws. And I think we should destroy them all, which is the Jewish people. And the king says, okay. So the law was passed, but it so happens that the law was put off for almost a year. So this law was in place, but it wasn't took in place until almost a year. Why? We're gonna find out. So here we are in chapter 4. We see Mordecai hears about this news. The Jewish people hear about this law that's about to happen. And you can imagine what's going through their mind. Confusion, sadness, fear. We see that Mordecai here in chapter 4, he rips his clothes off and just, man, he just wailing to the Lord and just asking and just crying. But then he remembers who his cousin is and goes to Queen Esther. And here when we are gonna read our portion here, he goes and there's a servant that's talking on behalf of both of them. So it's like it's not a face-to-face conversation. And so Mordecai said, hey, can you please tell Queen Esther that there's a law that's been passed that all our people are gonna die? And she needs to go to the king and tell the king to erase that law. And Esther remind cousin Mordecai about a law that if she goes into the presence of the king without an appointment, she will die. And so she said, cousin Mordecai, I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna do it. But let's see how cousin Mordecai responded here in Esther chapter 4 in verses 13 to 17. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews that be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. What a great conversation there. We see that this law is passed and you can imagine what's going through Mordecai's mind and all the stress, what's gonna happen. The future looks uncertain. Goes has a conversation with his cousin, Queen Esther. But I love what he says here. Queen Esther said, listen, I'm not gonna talk to the king because I can die if I go in his presence without being summoned. And I love what he says here. Verse 14, it says, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place. Now here's the thing. In the book of Esther, God is not mentioned at all. And in fact, some people believe that Esther should not be in the Bible because of that. But if you read the book of Esther, you see God working behind the scenes. There's no way that if you read Esther and you don't see how God is planning everything, even putting Esther as queen before the law was even passed. That's all God. And so what I see here with Mordecai is that he's understanding that God is in control. And so the first truth from this passage, and I want us to understand, the first truth is this: God is in control of everything for his purpose. Do we believe that? Do we believe in this God who says that he is in control? Do we believe in this God that says he will never leave us or forsake us, but also to understand that he is in control of every little detail of our lives, no matter what we face? I love what Mordecai says, that relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place. Even though this crazy law has been passed, there's this glimpse of hope that we see in Mordecai, where he's reminded himself, even to Esther, hey, God is in control of everything. Christian theology, there's a term that says that God is sovereign. And that means that he has supreme power and wisdom over everything and authority over everything. That is who our God is. He is in control of everything. God never stresses out. Praise the Lord. That no matter what he faces, he's not backed into a corner and has him make a decision that he does not like. You see, he acts in a way that pleases himself and brings him glory, so we as people can see who he is, but also unbelieving people can know who he is. God is in control of every detail of our lives, even through trials. And I know some of us here this morning may be struggling. We're in this season of struggle, of losing a loved one, or maybe marriage problems, or whatever it may be. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God is in control of that. That God does not waste our pain, but he uses it for his glory. I love this verse here in Psalm 147, verse 5. It says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." Listen, our mind cannot comprehend a lot of things that are happening. I can imagine Mordecai and the Jewish people here. What is going on? Why is this happening? But what we can find comfort is understanding this, that God has the ultimate power, that he's in control, and his knowledge has no limit. And that's why we can, and the result of knowing that, we can find rest and hope knowing that God is in control. Church family, that is why we read God's word. We read God's word so we can know this God who's in control. We read God's word so we can fall in love with this God. So no matter what we face, we know who's in control. Why? Because he says it in his word. His word is true. I love this. King David says in Psalm 4, chapter 4, verse 8, his enemies are coming to attack him. And this is what how David responds. He says, "In peace, I will both lie down and sleep." Now remember, his enemies are coming, but he says, "In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." How do you handle when you're in the midst of trials? How do you handle when things don't go your way? Do you remember that God's in control, or do you try to fix it yourself? Listen, I'll be honest. I try to fix it myself sometimes. I try to think, okay, I'm in control. Steve's got to fix this. I got to do this. And what happens is, man, I forget that God is in control. And that stress and that anxiety comes up because I think I need to fix it. But in reality, we can't. You see, instead of focusing on the problem, we need to focus on the one that can fix the problem and has control, which is God. And when we read God's word and fall in love with God for who he is as we read his word, man, we'll find peace and rest and be like David and say, "Hey, I sleep in both peace and rest because I know who's in control. Because I dwell in the safety of my God who's in control of everything. That nothing slips out of his fingers or he has to do a plan B. No, God is always in plan A." And here Mordecai is reminding that to Esther and saying, listen, Cousin Esther, if you're going to be silent, relief and deliverance is going to come from another place. We need to have that trust that no matter what we face, whatever it may be, that we understand who is in control. And it should pull us more into knowing who God is, even in our suffering, right? Suffering helps us to be more like God. And I know sometimes we look at suffering in a negative way, but we should look at it in a positive way because that's what the purpose of suffering is. We see in the book of James that the purpose of suffering for us to be more and more like God and trusting God and being less and less like the world and not trusting in ourselves. You see, God uses even our suffering for his glory. And what you're going into, that God uses that pain for his glory, but also helping others and reminding them that God is in control, which I love here with Mordecai, was reminding Esther to say, hey, relief and deliverance are gonna come from someone else, from another place. And so we need to believe that God is in control. Now here's the picture of God's sovereignty in this story, how he's in control of everything. All right, so I encourage you guys to please read the book of Esther this week because there's a lot of details in there that God is just, man, he is working. But I'm gonna give you guys the cliff notes, all right? And so here's how amazing this story is. So here we go. Queen Esther said, okay, I'm gonna go to the king. It's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. What a response. We're gonna look at that a little later. And so in chapter 5, we see that she goes and asks the king and to speak to the king. And it so happens that the king gave her approval. Now remember, chapter 1, the other queen, he kicked out, right? But Esther came and the king found favor. And then she asked the king, can I have a banquet with you and Haman tomorrow or the next day? And it's interesting that she didn't tell him right then and there, but wait until tomorrow. Why? We're gonna find out. But at that same moment, Haman is happy and excited, but also he is mad at Mordecai because he's not bowing down. And so he shares that with his friends about Mordecai. And it so happens that his friends gives them an idea to Haman. And he says, Haman, you should make some gallows and hang Mordecai tomorrow. Go ask the king tomorrow morning if you can hang Mordecai. And Haman loves this idea. And so we see in the scriptures here that Haman starts building the gallows and is excited that tomorrow morning he's gonna ask the king to kill Mordecai. But it so happens that that same moment that that's going on in Haman's life, the king cannot fall asleep. And so he asks his servants, please read me a book. And it so happens that the servant picks this one, out of all the books the king had, it so happens that the servant picks the book of records to read to the king. And it so happens, out of all the records in that book, they read the story how Mordecai saved the king, which brought a question to the king's mind. Say, hey, have we honored Mordecai for saving the king? And it so happens that the servant knew the answer and said, no. He said, well, tomorrow we will honor him. And thus, the next day, early morning, doors open. And guess who's excited to talk to the king? Haman himself, that little guy. I don't know if he's little, but man, that boy, he got some problems. But he goes in excited, and the king sees him, and the king says, hey, man. Get it? Hey, man. All right, it's cool. That's right. I saw a pastor do it. I thought it was funny, but maybe I didn't land it. Man, I'm sorry. Anyways, all right, so here comes Haman. He says, hey, man, how you doing? How's it going on? And then Haman was, before he can say anything, the king says to Haman, hey, how can we honor someone who's been faithful to me? Guess who Haman thinks the king's talking about? Himself. So Haman's like, oh, king, I can tell you. Honor him, make him like a king, put him the best robes, put rings on his finger, and parade him around the town so people can see how great he is. And the king says, that's a fantastic idea. Go do that to Mordecai. I would have loved to see Haman's face, wouldn't you? And I would love to see parading him around with that horse. It's just, man, but it's okay though, because it so happens that Haman still has a banquet to get to with who? The king and queen. And so in that moment, he's like, I'm gonna tell them, and I'm still gonna hang Mordecai. But it so happens in that banquet, the Lord gives Esther boldness and strength and tells the king, there is a law that you have placed that you're gonna kill my people. And she reveals that she is a Jew. And this angers the king and says, who made me sign this law? And Esther says, Haman. Haman is the one. And that even angers the king, and the king walks out. And here's Haman. We see Haman's trying to beg for mercy to Queen Esther. And the king returns from coming outside his balcony. And he thinks Haman is disrespecting his wife. But guess what happens? He's gonna kill. He wants Haman dead. And this servant pops out of nowhere and says, king, there's some gallows in the back. Haman, build them. And the king says, use those to kill Haman. And Haman is brought to death. It's just crazy. This story is amazing to see even the sovereignty of God, even in this story, how God is in control of all the little pieces. And sometimes we may think when we go through a trial, it's like, man, I don't know how this is gonna end. There's not gonna be a good ending. Or I don't know what's gonna happen. But that's the beautiful thing about God being in control. Not only this, the second truth that we see from even the whole story of Esther, the whole book of Esther is this, that God is always faithful in keeping his promises. In Esther chapter 9, 22, we see this verse here. Now Haman is dead, but the law is still alive. In the sense of law, there's a law that if a king puts a law in place, it cannot be erased. But here's the amazing thing that we see in chapter 9 of Esther, that, or chapter 8 and 9, that Mordecai is made second in command. And the king gave Mordecai permission to make a law where the Jewish people can defend themselves against those that want to kill him. And we see a big victory that the Jewish people win. But here in Esther chapter 9, verse 22, it says this, as the days on which the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month that had been turned from them from sorrow into gladness, and from mourning into a holiday, that they should make some days of feast and gladness, days of sending gifts of food to one another and gifts to the poor. God did not break his promise. And what is that promise? We see in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where God tells Abraham that those that honor you and your people, I will honor. And those that curse you, he's gonna what? Curse. And that's what happened to Haman. Haman tried to curse God's people and he got a taste of his own medicine. But that's the beauty about our God, that he doesn't break his promises. But church family, we've got to remember God's promises. We got to remember who God is and his promises. I encourage you, as Pastor Bruce even said, to write down the faithfulness of God so you won't forget that God is in control. You see, what's interesting about the Jewish people that I love, that the Jewish people, they don't focus in the future, but they focus on the past. Think about all the festivals the Jewish people do, and they do that to remind themselves of who God is. So no matter what they face in the future, they know who's in control and who they belong to. But I don't know about you, but me, I focus a lot on the future. I focus a lot on the future, and that's where anxiety comes, stress, worry. But it's those moments when I look back that I'm reminded, I have different Mordecais in my life that remind me what God has done in the past, that say, oh yeah, that's my God. So no matter what I face in the future, I know who I belong to. I know who's in control of it. All I gotta ask the Lord is for strength to get me through it for his glory. And that is our God. That's why it's so important that we remember God's promises. And through the Old Testament, New Testament, man, there's tons of promises that God gives his people. And we should not forget them. But we should use them for every day of our lives to give us strength to continue no matter what we face in this life. Third truth is this. That God provides what we need to give him glory. Look at verse 16 to 17 of chapter 4. Esther says, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I, my young woman, will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king that is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. A famous line there that we see from Esther. Okay, listen, it's against the law, but if I perish, I perish. You see, that's my prayer to the Lord. That whatever I have to face, that I will be faithful in whatever he has, even whatever the consequences is, I know that God's in control and provides for me. You see, knowing that God provides what we need, that he gives us what we need to bring him glory, we must seek the Lord for what we need. God is the ultimate provider. Only God provides us what we need. Not what we want, but what we need to bring him glory. Because there's a purpose. We're gonna talk about that later. There's a purpose of why God has us here in this world at this time. But I love it here that Esther says, if I perish, I perish. Kind of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the king gave him a second chance to bow down to the statue, they said, listen, we're not gonna bow down. Even if our God doesn't save us, we're not gonna bow down. Here's Esther. She has no clue what the future's gonna hold. Listen, we do, right? Because we know the story. But are we like that with our lives? That no matter, we don't know what's gonna happen in the future, but we know who provides us strength to get through it. And that's why we need to seek the Lord daily, be in his word, fall in love with him. So no matter what comes our way, we know who's in control and it gives us the strength to continue. Not only that though, I love this part in verse 16. Esther goes, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I, my young women, will also fast as you do. I love that Esther said, hey, gather all our people and fast for me. You see, not only do we seek the Lord for strength, for whatever we need, whatever we're facing, but also we need to seek the encouragement of biblical wisdom from other believers to encourage us and to remind us of who God is. Like I said earlier, I have a lot of Mordecais in my life that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for a lot of Mordecais that remind me of who God is in the midst of trials. My question is, do you have that? See, that's why it's so important that we have biblical community. That's one of our desires here at Maranatha, is that yes, you come to all the studies, but also that you have biblical community that's walking with you through the good days and bad days. But seeking wise counsel, those men and women that are growing in their faith that you can follow and ask wisdom. I remember one of my professors says this, if you wanna know what it looks like to follow Jesus, find someone who's been through trials and still loves Jesus. That's how you know. Church family, listen, we're not designed to grow in the Lord alone or go through trials alone, but he's given us biblical community, the church, to gather, to love and encourage and to help each other and reminds us of who God is. Do you have that? Do you have that in your life? But I'm so thankful that everything we need comes from God. And God knows what we need to give him glory. Whatever mission he has for us for our life, he's gonna give us and supply us what we need. Even here with Esther, God gave Esther strength to go and talk to the king. Ask first the king to meet with the king. And then secondly, the boldness to say, hey, I'm a Jew and you're gonna kill my people. You see, that is our provider. God gives us what we need, but also he gives us a biblical community to encourage us and reminds us of who God is. Last truth is this, verse 14 of chapter 4. I love Mordecai's response here. He said, okay, if you keep silence, deliverance and relief is coming from another place. But he says this at the end of verse 14, and who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Here's the fourth truth. Each of us has a part in God's plan. And what is that plan? That God wants the whole world to know who he is and be saved. And this is the crazy thing is, God wants to use us. God doesn't need us. We need him. But yet he wants to use our lives to lead people to him and know who he is. You see, only the Lord determines where and when we live. It is not by chance, or it's not by a so happened moment where we work, where we live, all that, no. And I love the Apostle Paul here in Acts 17, 26, speaking about God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 26, he says this, from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God has made us alive in this moment to make him known. That's why God created us. God created us for two reasons, to know him and to make him known as we live our lives for his glory. And that means even through the trial, even through hard times, even when our future looks uncertain, that we're still faithful to the Lord because we know who he is and that we belong to him, but that through our lives, it should point people to Jesus. I was talking to a lady in the first service that she was reminded that her husband died and now she has kind of like a ministry of encouraging widows, because she knows what they're going through. And that's what I mean by God doesn't waste our pain, but she is ministering and helping and investing in other ladies that she understands. My mom, who's survived cancer twice, that is her ministry. She loves to pray with people who have cancer and encourage them because she knows what they're going through. You see, God does not waste pain, but he uses it for his glory and his purpose. And here, Mordecai was reminding Esther, saying, Esther, listen, relief and deliverance are gonna come from another place, but what if it's you? Esther, what if it's you that God made you queen to save his people? What if you're the plan? And I love that, that reminder that he gave to Esther, understanding that she played a part in God's plan, and so do we. Listen, the whole purpose of being a Christian is not just to sit, listen to some sermons, and then go eat. I mean, it's good. Eating's good. I'm not saying it's bad, but that's not it. The purpose of being a disciple of Jesus is to grow in our knowledge of the Lord and love him and honor him with our lives so that we don't drift away from him, but bring people to him. That's my prayer for us as a church, that we understand that our purpose here on earth is not to get whatever we want, but it's to bring God glory in the way we live our lives, that we'll bring him honor and glory no matter what we face, because we know who we belong to. You see, the places we are, the places where we are, the positions we hold, the people we surround ourselves have been entrusted to us for the purpose to share the gospel with them. Listen, it's not by chance or it just so happens that you live here or you work here or you go to this school or you play this sport or whatever it may be. It's not just so happens. It's God placing you there because he wants you to tell, recount his wondrous deeds to people around you. Some of you know who that person is, maybe a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, a friend, that you know, okay, I don't wanna do it, but I know I need to go talk to them. Esther understands you. But she reminded, but was reminded by her cousin that, man, we play a part in God's purpose and plan. And we must remember that. Now, how should this impact us? All right, some of you guys probably saying, Steve, we've heard this story so many times. We've heard better preachers preach this story. That was great. But how does this should impact us? Here's the truths that we must get from this whole story of Esther. And again, I encourage you, read this whole story slowly. Take your time and see how God is working behind the scenes. See, those so happen moments is God working behind the scenes. So the first truth is this: find peace and rest knowing that God is always in control. You see, it's easy to love Jesus when life is going good, but we still love Jesus when life gets tough. We still grow and love in him and even use your suffering to bring people to him, because God does not waste pain. A pastor says this, a quote from a pastor, he says, when you go through a trial, the sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which you lay your head. Where do you lay your head when you meet with trials? Where do you find your peace and your rest? Is it knowing that God is in control? I hope it is. Secondly is this: remember God's faithfulness. Remember his faithfulness. Look back how God's been faithful in your lives. Look at his word, he's been faithful for many years. And let that bring you peace. Thirdly is this: surround yourselves with those who point you to God. Surround yourselves with those who point you to God, especially when you're going through a trial, through a hard decision you might have to make. But surround yourself with believers that remind you of the faithfulness of God, of who God is and how he's in control. So no matter what decision you have to make, you can be like Esther and say, if I perish, I perish. Fourthly is this: make God known where he has you. Make God known where he has you. Esther had to make a decision. In response, if I perish, I perish. And the Lord gave her what she needed to make him known. Because it also says in scripture, in the book of Esther, that a lot of people converted to follow the Jews because of that. But here's the thing: gospel risks are never wasted. If you know you need to talk to someone who doesn't know the Lord and you're nervous to, listen, I got family members who don't know Jesus and I get nervous. I can talk to any stranger in the street, but for some reason, I don't know what it is with my cousin. I'm like, oh man, I don't know why, with family members or people I know. But that's why we gotta understand, that's why we're here on earth, and it's for such a time as this, to know God and to make him known. We need to stop playing games and stop wasting time. But that's why we need to pray to the Lord to give us strength, but also that the Lord will open our eyes and see, okay, God, how do you want me to make you known? And so what that leads us to our to-do list. And hopefully you guys have been doing it. So here's our to-do list. The first one that Pastor Bruce challenged us with is to get a journal to take the note of God's faithfulness. Important. Number two is memorize Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23, and Romans 8, 31 to 32. And I'm sure each of you guys have that memorized. We're gonna ask you, the ushers, I'm joking. All right, number three, start your day by acknowledging your availability to the Lord. Number four is pray specifically each day that God will give you a greater desire for his glory than for your own personal good. Man, that one's tough. Number five, write, recite, and remind yourself each day that there's no God but the Lord. Okay, no one gets excited. I don't know why, but it's okay. Number six, pray each day, and this is our challenge for today from the book of Esther. Pray each day that God gives you boldness to make him known where he has you. Let that be your prayer each day. To say, God, you have me here, working here. My kids are here. My kids play this sport around here. All this happening in my life, but help me to make you known in the good days and the bad days. Open my eyes and let me see that. Before we close in prayer, I know some of us are going through hardship, maybe struggling. We know that because, like I said, every Tuesday we pray as a staff for your request. Please continue sending us requests so we can pray for you. That's what Esther did, right? Told Mordecai, go get all the Jews and pray on my behalf. I'm fasting my behalf. But I want to give you guys a moment here to understand all these truths. Maybe these truths you've known for years, But sometimes we don't get to stop and kind of revisit them again. Maybe some of you have lost a loved one. Maybe some of you are going through marriage problems. Maybe whatever the situation may be, I want you to take some time. I'll give you a few minutes. And I want you to pray and say, God, help me to make you known. No matter what I face, no matter what the future holds, help me remember your faithfulness so that I can make you known every day of my life. So where you at, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and pour your heart before the Lord. Maybe ask for forgiveness for not making him known because of this trial is holding you back and distracting you from knowing who God is. But say, God, help me to make you known no matter what I face for your glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. That you are a God that is in control of every detail of our lives, even when we're faced with trials. Lord, our world is disconnected from you, but we thank you that you keep everything under control. Even when times look tough, or maybe we even question why we're going through certain things, but help us remember who you are and your faithfulness. I thank you for the story of Esther, an amazing book of just how you work behind the scenes, and we may not hear you or see you, but you're right in front of us, guiding us and in control of everything. May we place our trust in you. May we find our peace and our rest. And may your sovereignty be the pillow that we lay our head. And no matter what the future holds or what's going on, we can be calm and peace knowing that you're in control. And help us not forget who you are. Help us not to forget what you've done. Even stories like Esther that we've heard so many times that it sometimes could be boring or just mundane, whatever it may be, but help us to be excited every time we hear what you have done in the past so that no matter what the future holds, we can be faithful and making you known no matter what we face. And Lord, there are people here this morning who are hurting. Maybe they lost a loved one. Maybe they're going through some hard times as a family or just their job or whatever it may be. God, I pray that they will take these examples of Esther and Mordecai and how they put their trust in you and be reminded that you're working behind the scenes. And I pray that they would just put their whole trust in you and that you would comfort them. Help us as a church to comfort them as well, to love on them and to give biblical wisdom to help them know you. We may not know the answer, but at least we can encourage them to know who you are. And I pray that for us today. Those this morning who are hurting, who are searching, or need encouragement, I pray that they will look at the book of Esther and see you working behind the scenes like you always are. And I pray that we will not focus so much in the future, but in the past, and remember what you've done so that no matter what the future holds, we can make you known. For such a time as this, Lord, you made us alive now. You place us where we live so we can know you and make you known. And may we do that for your glory. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.